church, the body of Christ. If it's a place where Christ is preached, if it's a place where Christ is exalted, we have to go there and give it everything we have in the work of the church.
Revival is ultimately Christ himself, seen, felt, heard, living, active, moving in and through his body on earth. When God breaks into a life or a community, nothing else matters save the person of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, the name of Jesus.
So Acts 16, again, if you don't have a Bible, you can use the one under your chair. Otherwise, we'll start to work through. This is a prayer meeting that we lead every week. For those of you who are new this morning, I mean, you may think it's 8:45 in the morning and we're going to enter into a prayer meeting. Dear God, this is going to be the worst Sunday morning of my life. We're going to show and hopefully we'll lead in such a way that you'll find some little fuego in your soul. It means fire in Spanish. But you'll feel a little bit of the in your heart about it. And so we're just going to throw up a couple of things that we start every one of the prayer meetings with. There's some particular reasons we do this, but we'll define real quick revival. We have this theme called This is Revival. So we want to make sure everyone's tracking with that, because if you have a different church background, it may mean something different. But here's what revival means. Matthew, throw it on the screen for you. Revival is where we're awakened or revitalized, that things are stirred back up again, that there has been seasons and times in which the church has been awesome, just killing it, and there's been seasons and times where the church has not been awesome, not killing it. And so our goal is not simply to say, let's attend a service, let's attend a building, let's just say we checked off Jesus for the week. Our aim is to say that our lives are fully given to Jesus and we pursue him radically. And so when we talk about prayer meetings, we want to see revival in this generation. We want your age group, right? I still feel like I'm a part of it. We're in the same generation. We got a 20-year gap there, right? And so for our generation to be awakened and revived to what God put them on the purpose for, on the planet for, and we want you to be alert to the day of opportunity you have with your friends. There's unique opportunity you have when in middle school and high school that you're not going to get anywhere else, that you're not going to get the ability to interact with people at work like you do when you're in middle school and high school. You're not going to make friends like you do when you're in middle school and high school. Things are going to get drastically different. And so we say that there's a unique opportunity you have right now to reach a lot of people, that they would fall in love with Jesus. And so we want you to seize it. So in this room, when we pray together, we're going to teach you how to do three things with the scriptures, specifically about prayer. We're going to teach you how to pray and sing the Bible, right? Which you may not be a vocalist. That's all right. Most people in this room aren't, right? There's a couple people with microphones who do all right. There's a couple people without microphones who do all right. But for the most part, none of us are vocalists. So we're going to teach you how to pray and sing the Bible. We're going to teach you how to pray corporately, how we can all engage together in praying. And then we're going to teach you how to pray for someone, right? That you have an opportunity to pray with someone today. So when we talk about revival, we're saying revival starts with me, right? Revival starts with you. Revival starts with me. Revival doesn't, it's not external when we talk about revival. It starts with you. So if revival doesn't start in your own heart and your own life and your own person, then there's no reason for us to start looking beyond. So revival starts with you. All right, so if you're tracking that, Philippians is a book about Philippi, the town. Philippi, the town, happens in Acts 16. And there's three people that I want you to track within the story, all right? There's this lady named Lydia, right? She's cool. There is a slave girl. She's not so cool, right? There's a Philippian jailer. He has a really bad moment. Right, but those are the three primary stories we're going to share from Acts 16. Now, there's this guy named Paul. He goes on some journeys as a missionary, which means he does a lot of walking, a lot of riding, and a lot of time in a boat. All right, so we're going to throw a map on the screen just for you to see. Paul's in the midst of his third journey as a missionary. And so you can see Philippi is kind of on the top left up there. And so he's been traveling for a bit by the time he comes here. Right now, if you've ever gone on a long road trip with your family, right, there's a lot of I Spy, a lot of slug bug something, right? You've got dumb road games. But there's a unique thing that you got that you actually have, like, the ability to watch movies when you drive, right? That wasn't available in my day. In my day, we had to push the car with our feet, Flintstone style. But you've got this journey for Paul that he's on. Right, he comes to this town named Philippi, which I always think pictures are helpful and videos are helpful to see what places look like. Because for me, I always picture something in my head, right? Like if you read Lord of the Rings, you're like, Frodo's not supposed to look like that. That's not how I pictured him, right? You have those moments. And so here's the town, just like an overview of it. And so you can kind of see just some key landmarks. Now we're going to show you some pretty videos, all right? So we've got video number one. Here's just a survey of what the town looks like from just the size. Obviously, it's in ruins. It's 2,000 years old, so it didn't really make it. But you can kind of see there's a lot of ruins. This would be the middle of town where they had one of their large Roman buildings. And so it's very common if you've ever seen a Roman city post-Rome. That's kind of what it looks like. This lady named Lydia gets baptized, all right, Nacho Libre style. And so we're going to show you where she gets baptized at. So a lot of people will bring even some beef against the scriptures about, I don't know how it is. All right, this is literally where this lady Lydia was baptized at. And so you can see that, and there's a nice little river, some creek. I mean, that's a pretty sweet place to get baptized, right? Hit your head right on the rock. That'll go well. And then Paul and his boy get in prison, and we're going to show you the prison they stayed in. Now, you may look at this video and be like, that prison ain't that bad. Look at how open those bars are. Anybody could escape from that, all right? That's not the way it goes down, right? So show them the video, Matthew, of the prison. Click that one, schlack how, all right? So you're like, oh, look, anybody could escape from there. All you have to do is go, whoop. Okay, so this is, again, a 2,000-year-old prison. It's not like they enchained people with open gaps that you could just walk through, all right? But also when we think prison, we think like, you know, The Walking Dead, stuff closing, people establishing communities to make it against the governor. That's not how it works in the year, like, zero, right? So there's a big hole that they just started putting enclosures in the holes, all right? And then they're going to meet in a home. This is where a church met, was in a house. It didn't meet in big buildings. And so a Jewish church would meet in a spot like this, right? Lady with a big house, and this is going to be Lydia. She got a big house, right? And so they're going to meet in her place, and this is kind of what it would go down and look like, right? So even when we do life groups at Colin and Sarah's, it's a little bit different than meeting at Lydia's crib, all right? So there you go. So with those in your brain, let's go Acts 16, all right? So start in verse 11, all right? So it's on page 792. We're going to go to 793, so you have a page turn there. Whoa, here it comes, all right? So here we go, Acts 16. Go ahead and throw the verse up there. Thanks. All right, verse 11, here we go. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remain in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside to the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. After she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her, and it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your households." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them in the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household and that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let these men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come out themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out to the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. Now, this is a little bit crazy, not because of volume, but just because of the different number of people that are coming in. So one of the parts that just for you to be aware is when we work in this room, we work through books of the Bible. We preach through different ones. Right now we're in Daniel. In January, we're going to be starting the book of Philippians. And so this is kind of like a prelude to a prelude. Right? It's a pre-prelude. And so even for us, just to start putting a little bit of air in the tires for Philippians, just to get a little sum in your soul. All right. So when we start working through, again, those three different people, you've got Lydia, okay, she's a seller of purple, which means nothing to us, right? Because there's a lot of purple in the room. Like if you just scan, purple, 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 right? And you've even got shades of purple, Nick rocking the purple J shirt, all right? So you can even just start to see the shades. Like I would fall myself into a little bit of the purple. Why? Because I took red and purple and made it the maroon, okay? So you've got that. So purple is boss, right? It's like she is, I don't know, a really awesome designer. I don't know it. I don't watch Project Runway, but there are really awesome designers in the world, and she's Gucci, all right? She's got purple for days. So when it says she's a dealer in purple goods, she's high line, high fashion, girl makes a lot of money, all right? So she just selling the stuff. So you've got high living, right? Caviar girl. And then she's like, goes to her little Beth Moore Bible study with all her girlfriends. All right. So they just walk down to the river. They just start having a little prayer meeting, her and her girls, right? They watch a little Christine Kane, start praying a little bit. All right. So design for life happening at the river. Lydia and her squad is there, right? So you've got her. Then when they move out of town, they come and they interact with a slave girl who's got a spirit of divination that causes her to be a fortune teller. Right? So you've got lady with the little ball who just starts to like, woo, like Robin Hood style, right? And starts to see some different junk. And when that happens, she starts to tell people, here's what's going down, here's what's going down, here's what's going down. Now, if you read the story and you see this girl's like, hey, they're servants of the Most High God. And Paul's like, ooh, whoa, she's making me mad. If you ever read that and go, why is he getting so mad? She's saying the truth, right? Like they are servants of the Most High God. Why is he getting all frustrated by her? Why? Because she's like, hey, I knew these guys were coming, right? And so what does Paul do? Paul gets really mad. That's just something he does often. Gets really mad and then looks at her and is like, come out of there, right? And what happens? Spear comes out right then. And then the guys get super mad because they're like, man, they just stole all our money, right? Now, fortune telling is not big, right? It's not like that big. I don't know anybody who's making loot off fortune telling. There was a day where you could call phone numbers and people would give you fortune telling stuff. You could call like the great magician, whoever, and you'd get on his phone line and he would tell you some different stuff, right? If you drive around town, you'll see some random things where people do like tarot card readings, right? They'll flip over poker cards and they'll tell you what's going to happen. And you're like, ooh, angel of death, I'm going to die now, right? There's all that random junk that happens. So you've got that. You've got people who do like palm readings, right? You open your hand up and they're like, uh-oh, I see a wrinkle. You're like, actually, that's where I cut myself with a knife. No wrinkle about it, right? Like, I don't know how all that works. I know I've got an owl on my side and then a la on the other side, right? But did you know your hands are together when you're born, right? That's how they're like perfect identities of each other, right? So if you didn't ever know, your hands are like exactly the same, right? So then just look at your hands and then fold them in. You're like, what? I didn't even know. Oh, snap. It's like one of those little cards where you were like, right? Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Right, so those things start to play out. So I want you to track that. They go to jail, locked up in jail, all right? So they're singing prison songs, right? Oh, brother, where art thou? Paul and Silas in prison, singing songs, prisoners listen. All of a sudden, an earthquake comes, and they don't, like, bust out of jail, right? So it's not earthquake, I'm on the run, right? It's bust out, earthquake happens, and they're just laying there. Philippian jailer is like, oh, God. He figures out all the prisoners are gone, which he's responsible, which means they're going to kill him because all the prisoners are gone. So what does he do? Here's the earthquake, rushes in, all the prisoners are gone, pulls his sword out, getting ready to kill himself. And Paul's like, whoa, man, back off the sword train. He's like, hey, bring me some lights. Hey, they bring the lights in. Everybody's on the inside. He's like, what's happening? It's like, what do I got to do to be saved right now? That's a line, right? I was just going to kill myself. What do I need to do to know Jesus? And he's like, all right, man, here's what we got to do. And then he takes them back to his house. They clean them up, get Paul and Silas all scrubbed up, baptize everybody. Then they're like, hey, you guys can get out of jail. It's cool. And they're like, no. You guys threw us in jail in public, beat us in public. You were making a mob about all this stuff. People getting torches, trying to kill us. You can tell them to come down here and get me out of jail, which that's such a boss move, right? Hey, you can get out of jail. You can tell those suckers who put me in jail, come find me. I'm right here. They can come let me out, right? So Paul and his boys, then they let him out, and Paul's like, I'm going to go check on the brothers. Now, I want you to track with who's in the house right now, right? You've got Lydia, crazy, wealthy, awesome. Like, they went to her house, right? So Lydia's got mad money, right? Like, you're riding around in a Bugatti when you're cruising with Lydia, right? So you've got her. Then you've got slave girl, right? Like, crazy witch slave girl, right? Like, it's not like, oh, sweet slave girl, right? We liberated you from trafficking. Nah, you've got, like, spirit of the devil telling your future all up in your mix, slave girl, right? You got her, right? So you just, everybody knows how girls are, right? Like, got most guys, we just kind of are, like, middle of the road. But girls have this weird thing where girls just be like, about each other, right? Like, I don't know why I just blew a kiss right there, but they don't normally do that. They're not like, what's up, girl? That's not how it goes. But girls have way too much sass about, like, their social class, right? So girls will be like, Right? So can you imagine Beyonce rolling around with, like, scrub girl, right? What would Beyonce say? She doesn't want no scrubs, right? So it would just be this weird thing. Like, even Beyonce's weird about her sister, right? Her sister's punching Jay-Z in the face in elevators, but Beyonce is a little bit weird about some stuff, right? So you've got that thing. So even just those two girls in the same room being cool, that would be a bit odd. And then you've got, like, this Roman military man, right? That most jailers were former soldiers who got to have a piece of land, make some money, work in some jails. So you've got high living, right? Low living. And then you've got, like, a soldier, right? Grunt, just plumber, Joe, soldier, jailer, right? And this is the church that Jesus forms, Acts 16, for the book of Philippians, right? Now, that's a bit crazy. Right, dude, when you talk range, I mean, that's about as far as it gets. Richest, poorest, middle America, right? And so here's the squad. And then again, just go ahead and throw that picture up of their house, Matthew, because this is the spot they meet in. It's not like they could sit across the room and be like, why are you looking at me? Right? Like, that's, they just, this is close, right? They get into some close spaces together, right? So we're just going to work through these little texts because there's a couple of verses that I just feel like are, all right, so we'll start up at the top, Matthew, just start throwing those Acts 16 verses. So here's just some things that are crazy, right? So you've got that there's this woman named Lydia. She was at her little prayer meeting down by the river, right? And then Paul shows up with Silas, starts telling to them what the scriptures are saying, who God is. And I just love the line at the bottom, that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention. Right? I mean, that verse for me is huge because every one of us, if you call yourself a believer in Jesus, it's because the Lord opened your heart to pay attention. Right? That for us, and one of the things we'll say in this room often is none of us did anything for Jesus to save us, right? We've done nothing to deserve it. We've done nothing to earn it. We did nothing to get it. We'll do nothing to keep it. It is Jesus who holds us, right? So even that moment most of the story of the room is like, well, when I was 3, I found out that I was really sinful. And there was that one time where I looked my mom in the face and I said a mean word, and I knew that the Lord had to save my life right then, right? They're like, what's your testimony? Well, one time I kicked my brother in the shins and I knew I needed the Lord, right? You've got these random 3-year-old stories, right? Some of you are like, I've been a Christian my whole life. I've never, ever, ever. I mean, I was confessing in the Lord when I was born, right? I birthed out. My parents were like, what shall we name him?
Justin, and I said, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. And they're like, that's the craziest thing we've ever heard a newborn do. I mean, he just like made a confession for Christ right there, right? While you were born in your house, right? So there's that thing that's going on. But every one of us, if you love Jesus, it's because he's opened your heart to pay attention. It's because he's opened your heart to follow. And every day you feel that like, oh man, I'm ready to follow the Lord some more. It's because he's opening your heart to pay attention and opening your heart to draw him in. And so then if you find yourself where you're like, man, I'm just really struggling to pay attention. An easy prayer for you. Lord, open my heart so that I could pay attention, right? Like even right now, some of you just need to say, Lord, open my heart to pay attention. I played way too much Xbox last night and I stayed up way too late. I knew it was a Sunday, but it was rainy outside. So I took an afternoon nap for like 4 hours and I couldn't go back to bed. So just open my heart to pay, right? That's you. Okay, so then we can fast forward into verses 19 to 21. So then you've got these owners of this slave girl, right? That once they realized they weren't making loot anymore, that they weren't going to make money off of these guys, what does he say? These men are Jews and they're disturbing our city, right? Now, let's just track what they've done. They stopped by a prayer meeting, started talking about the Bible. Lydia got baptized. That's awesome. They found a girl who was possessed by the devil and said, stop being possessed by the devil. That's all they've done so far. And these guys are like, they're wrecking shop on us, right? They're about to start a riot up in here, right? And so what did they say? Man, we need to get these dudes in jail. Right. So even that, right, that if you love Jesus, there's going to be these moments where you turn some things upside down where in certain people's worlds, you are wrecking the whole thing. Right. Because what used to be is not what is anymore. Because if you really follow, love, serve Jesus, you're going to get into spaces that are just going to cause you to turn some stuff upside down. Right. Some friends of yours that were wild and reckless and all of a sudden aren't anymore. Right. You're disturbing the city. You're turning some things upside down. So Paul and Silas go to jail. Right. So, I mean, I don't know if you've ever done time. I haven't. Right. But most time when you're doing time, there's just a lot of free time. Right. So what happens when guys go to jail? They start getting all swolled up because all they do is go to the gym all the time. Right. Trying not to get shanked in the yard. But you've got guys in jail. So Paul and Silas, it says about midnight, Paul and Silas start praying and singing. Right. So what happens? It's about midnight, which for me, when it's midnight, I'm ready for bed. Right. Like if you're in jail and it's midnight, what are you doing at midnight, right? I'm ready to sleep, right? So even me and sleepovers never got along because I was like, it is 3 a.m, you dummies, right? Let's go to bed, right? That's never been me. I've never wanted to see the sun come up. I've wanted to be sleeping when it arrives and just say, hey, son, glad you're here again today, right? It's never been a desire in my heart. So Paul and Silas, they're in jail, and they just start praying, right? Who knows what they're praying about? I don't know if they're like, Jesus, get us up out of here. Yo, we're in jail right now. This is Philippi. Don't nobody want to go to jail in Philippi. Right? I don't know how they're praying. They start praying, and then they just start singing hymns. Right now, for us, when we hear hymns, we're automatically going to like old school, boring songs. Right? Like most of us aren't like, ooh, the hymns are coming out today. Right? That's never been your heart or your response to a lot of that. So hymns are just songs. Right? They're Jesus songs. So Caleb's writing modern hymns. Right? You just may not be like, be thou my vision, oh Lord. Like you just may not feel that, right? So Caleb's writing some hymns. So he has writing some hymns. Hymns are just songs. So what do? They're praying together. Jesus, bust us up out of here. Jesus, bust us up out of here. Right? Paul and Silas just going back. I'm ready to get out of jail. And then all of a sudden they start singing about, don't nobody want to go to jail in Philippi. Right? They start singing things. But man, the prisoners are listening, right? That you've got Paul and Silas are singing and the prisoners aren't like, hey, shut up down there, right? There's not some like crip who's ready to shank him, right? He's just down. Hey, whoo, stop. The prisoners are just tuned in, right? So you're laying on your mat, right? You got your hard cement bed and you just hear somebody's, don't nobody want to go to jail in Philippi. You're like, man, ain't that the truth, right? They're just laying there listening to these guys praying and singing, right? And so for us, man, like for the things, one of the things we brought out through the Daniel series is it's our responsibility to learn how to communicate to those who don't know God about what God is doing. And it's our responsibility to say what God is doing in our lives so that others would hear. Right? So here's Paul and Silas in jail, and they're like, Jesus is awesome, right? Like they have this like, we just want to praise the Lord because we're in jail right now. This is awesome, right? Jesus died. We're in jail. We got the better end of the deal. Here we go, right? So there's all this playing out. So verse 27, right? Jailer wakes up. He sees the prison doors are open. He's about to kill himself, right? And Paul's like, woo,
calm it down, right? Bring it down, sir. Simmer down now. And the guy's response is like, sirs, what I got to do to be saved, right? I'm ready to kill myself right now. And then he's like, and now I'm ready to accept the Lord, right? No. Okay. Okay, so what do I got to do to know Jesus right now? So again, when we pray, when we sing, when we respond, when we worship, then there's always going to be these moments where someone's going to be like, sirs, what do I got to do to be saved? And you better know the answer to that question when it gets asked, right? That I can't tell you how many times we've had conversations with people of like, there's been somebody who needed to know Jesus, somebody who was ready to accept Jesus, somebody who's ready, and the response was, why don't you just pray with me a little something? Jesus, you're awesome. Amen. Welcome to the team. Hey-o. Right? That there's just these weird things that people do. So when that time comes, and I'm saying, if you love the Lord, if you talk about what the Lord is doing, if you pray and ask the Lord, right, there are going to be moments where someone says, what do I got to do to be saved? And you just got to know the answer to that question. So why do we do Multiply during the summer? To teach you how to be a disciple and how to make disciples. Why is that content still available so you can know how to be a disciple and make disciples? Why do we do who's made a decision to follow Jesus? Because it's not the decision ultimately that's going to carry them through their life. It's every step after, right? Like I love being like, Jesus is saving somebody right now. Right? Love that moment. But it's also the moments that come after. And so if for all the people I've led to know Jesus, man, we've had to walk some stuff out, right? So I can dance around the room. Like I can talk about Caleb and Jacob right there, right? I've known them since both of them like had facial hair, right? They're still struggling in that area, but it's genetic, right? I'm in the same camp, right? So known them since before they were 12, right? We've been in relationship. When I first walk into the room, Caleb rocked a shaved head. It was more blonde then, but we sat down in a little circle over here. There's a little picture of Caleb and I, right? Me as an 18-year-old looking 12. Caleb as a 12-year-old looking 8. We were in it together, right? Known Tanner since way, 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 way back, right? Known him, known Colin since he was way back. I mean, I could dance around this room and say I've known him since we were puppies. And you can ask every one of them, right, that what we're doing with Jesus was not a single moment, but it's been a lot of conversations over a lot of years that resulted in a lot of growth. And then there's these random moments where they're like, wow, look at what the Lord's like done in my life, right? That like, it's like, even for the guys who have graduated, Caleb, Jacob, and Tanner, right? There wasn't like this one moment that just changed everything. It was big moments at times, but there's a lot of moments along the way that caused them to be where they are. And for every one of us, it's the same. And if you think that we're just going to pray for somebody next to you and that's going to be the end of the story, it's just the beginning of the story. All right. And so there's a lot of walking out to be saved. And then here's just the coolest part for me, 31 and 34. This is how we're going to pray this later on. Right. But the jailer says, all right, so here's what I have to do to be saved. Paul says, believe in the Lord. We're going to baptize you and it's going to go to your whole household. Right. Verse 31. Your whole household. Verse 33, he and his family. Verse 34, they rejoice with his entire household. This dude's whole family got saved. Now, for me, I'm the forerunner in my family for Jesus. Don't nobody else in my family love Jesus yet, right? And there's been these little successive steps where other members of my family are being pulled in. Why? Because I'm the first. And so my prayer even in Acts 16 is it's me and my whole household. When Jesus wanted to save me, he's changing my whole family. So Jesus saved me, but he also wants to save my sister, wants to save my mom, wants to save my dad, wants to save my stepmom, wants to save my grandpa. Jesus wants to save everybody in my family, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles. Again, my whole family doesn't know him, and Jesus is about saving everybody. And when it comes to your family, I mean, I don't care if you grew up in a Christian home, your dad was a preacher. If you know Jesus, Jesus wants to save your whole family through you. He wants to save your whole family because of you. So again, if you're praying, singing, asking, working in God, then God is going to use you to save everybody. Everybody, right? So what happens? Verse 40, they went out of prison. They went to the house. They go to Lydia's crib and everybody's in there kicking it, house church, right? So again, crazy rich woman, middle class soldier, poor slave girl, and here's where Jesus builds his church. And in this room, man, our room should look no different than Philippi did. We're going to have some crazy wealthy kids in here, right? We're going to have some people who come from families that have millions of dollars, right? That they're going to get all kinds of new stuff, have all kinds of new toys, have all kinds of new privilege. They're going to be the ones that everybody else looks at and say, I can't believe they got that again, right? That covetousness, a little bit of jealousy going, I wish I could get an Xbox One when it came out, right? I wish I was driving a Maserati when I got my license, right? You're like, I'm trying to work on a Geo Metro, and they're like rolling in brand new status, right? That's going to be there. There's going to be some middle class versions of us, right? That we hang out in the middle, right? We have rice-a-roni more often than we'd like to, right? And then there's going to be some of us that don't have any money, man. When I grew up, Army kids don't have a lot of money. So when we had hot dogs with our macaroni and cheese, high living, right? Like, I can't tell you how much shake and bake I had growing up, right? It was just, if you want to flavor some chicken, shake and bake. And that's how, I mean, that's what we did. There's so much stuff that, like, man, I didn't have a lot of money. Still don't have a lot of money. Pastor and doesn't get cash, all right? So when this room starts to look like this, the church should be the most diverse gathering in the world, and right now it's the most segregated. It should be the most, covers every region, covers every land. It should look like every tribe, tongue, nation, people group, socioeconomic status. This should be the most blended group of people on the earth, and right now it isn't, particularly in America, right? In America, it is especially unblended. Right? Because you've got white churches, black churches, Mexican churches. You've got poor church, rich church. Like, it's all, that's not the way it's supposed to be, friends. It really is supposed to be that anybody who walks in this room is welcome in this room because they walked in the room. Why? Because Jesus wants to save everybody. And by being here, it's a reflection of God's ready to save. So when we talk about your mission, some of you are going to be in lanes with people that you're going to be able to save people that I'll never talk to. Some of you will be in lanes that you'll be in stuff that, like, it's just very common for you, right? But all of us are on the mission that if you love Jesus, then we're going to be able to give our lives to knowing him, to seeing him work, and to seeing him save lots of people. And I'm saying Jesus right now wants to save a lot of people through you. And if your relationship with Jesus is not causing more people to fall in love with him, then I'm going to ask, what's Jesus doing in your life? Because if he's not doing something that would cause others to fall in love with him, I don't know how much he's doing. That if everything he's doing just ends in this room and you were like, cool, man, I punched my Jesus ticket today. That's not what we're about. This is very much, man, let's fuel this thing in your heart. Let's set some things in motion. Let's get the ball going, and then let's get aggressive. So Caleb, Sierra, I don't know, Sierra, are you coming up today? Yeah, Caleb, Sierra, the rest of the squad's going to roll up here. They just found out they're having a boy. What? All right, so as they start to come up, we're going to sing and we're going to pray and we're going to worship a little bit. So Matthew's going to throw up, but here's what's happening this morning. Everybody loves expectations, so here's how it's going to go down, especially if this is your first one. Caleb and Sierra are going to lead us in some songs, right? We're just going to echoey. Ha, ha, ha. I'm just kidding. I was doing that for you. You're all right. So we're going to have some worship where we sing along together, right? That there'll just be some songs that we throw up that we're going to get a chance to crush. Then we're going to come up and we're going to pray Psalm 126. I'm going to show you how to pray the Bible. So for those of you who are like, how's this even work? We're just going to open up to that. It's actually going to be Psalm 128 this morning, but we're going to open up there and I'm just going to say, all right, here's how you pray it. Here's what it says. It's on page 441. Let's go. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to pray for those who are far from God by name. We're going to pray for your campus. We're going to pray for your friends. We're going to pray for your family. We're going to have that, have some songs, and then we're going to pray for you and your household. That you and somebody else are going to get together, and we're going to pray that Jesus would go to work in your family, right? So whether that's a mom, dad who doesn't know the Lord, grandma, grandpa, cousin, crazy uncle out on the side who no one knows where he's at right now, we're going to pray that Jesus would go to work in your family, all right? And now, saying all of that, we could totally not do any of that. That we've been doing this long enough that if the Lord's like, hey, let's go ahead and do a little curveball, we might have you jumping, spinning, doing ninja flips in here for the Lord. All right, so go ahead and stand up. We're going to pray together, and these guys are going to lead us in some worship, and then we're going to get after it. All right, so as they're getting ready, let's pray, and then we'll go for it. So, Jesus, I thank you so much that, God, as we gather this morning, and it's a rainy Sunday, that, God, it's easy for us to get tired. It's easy for us to feel like going to sleep, God. It's easy for us to feel like we're just kind of sinking into, I would rather be snuggled up in my bed right now. But God, I pray that you would awaken our hearts to the purpose of our day, awaken our hearts to the opportunity that's before us, that Jesus, you have a lot of people you want to save through every person in this room. And so God, I pray that heaven would get bigger by our efforts. Not only our efforts as we pray and sing and declare who God is, but God, also our efforts as we live our lives to advance the gospel in the earth. And so God, even in this, would you revive us? Revival has to start with us before it moves beyond us. And so God, would revival start in this room? Would revival start in our hearts? And God, would we be able to run hard after you? And it's in the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.